far away, do you know it? Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross. Come sing it with me. Where the dearest and best
for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Give my mom a hand. Thank you, Debbie. Give Debbie a hand too, would you? Amen. George Forsythe, before every Good Friday, he'd say, Ryan, now you better sing the old rugged cross. And he's not here tonight, but I heard those words in my spirit. And thank you so much for joining me, Mom. We can all sense the togetherness, the family of God, and the Holy Spirit even in this place now. We can feel the togetherness of family and friends that are like family. Can I get an amen? And we come together in gratitude that God allows moments like this. That he came on a night like tonight, on a Good Friday, on a Holy Friday service, to provide a way for us to be together, not only tonight, but forever. And I thought of this scripture as my wife read a small portion of one of the Gospels tonight. This is another one out of John 19, 23. It says these words, when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them in four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven one piece from top to bottom. They said, let's not tear it. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. The prophecy being fulfilled once again in scripture. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, and I want you to pay real close attention to this in verse 25. His sister, Mary, wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. Father, tonight, as the word is shared for the next few minutes, I pray that you would touch this place, that you would minister healing and hope, and that you would be a comforter on this night, that you would be an encourager on this night, that you would be a hope on this night. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Tonight we're gathered together as family. Like I said, last night was a moment of togetherness and family and friends celebrating 25 years of not only family but friendship in this place. I can go around the room. But unlike tonight and unlike last night, this scripture is a lonely scene, this scene of an evil accusing voices. And as I read this, I considered the people supporting Jesus at his most difficult point. in this text, there is such a small number of people considering the people he touched. You know the story. He fed the 5,000. He brought the dead back to life. He healed those that were blind and those that were oppressed. He touched and healed and ministered to hurting multitudes of people. The story's endless. People's lives changed. Miracles presented in the text, and many gathered for those miracles. This scripture is a bleak picture of Jesus saying to his mother, "Here is your son," as he hung on a cross. Only the three Marys, a friend of Mary, and one disciple. Now, we all know there's 12 disciples. We know that Judas, who Aaron spoke of tonight, betrayed Jesus, but there are still 10 remaining. None of them showing up but John, the one Jesus loved. None of the rest of Jesus' family was there. His siblings weren't there. James, his oldest brother, half-brother, after the crucifixion, Jesus asked John to care for his mother in his death. And I want to visit just a thought tonight. This thought of James absent in his own brother's death. We come to understand that James in this text is filled with doubt. Many of you have been studying the book of James. He's filled with doubt and fear at this moment. And later in the Holy Scriptures, we see in James 1:6, James gives this testimony through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says these words in verse 6, "But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." He talks about the contrast between faith and doubt. And clearly we understand through the scriptures that James at the time of the crucifixion was absent. He wasn't there. He was filled with doubt. And he was filled with fear. And now in the book of James, later in Scripture, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God has him write out of the passions of his heart. Out of his own hurt, out of his own pain, out of his own difficulty, he pens these words, "But let him ask in faith without doubting." And tonight, if there's two forces, both then and now, that would describe the attitude in the heart of people towards Jesus, towards this cross, and towards the resurrection, it is faith and doubt. The power of faith to those who believe in the name of Jesus, and the seed of doubt and fear. I'm going to be real brief tonight. My first thought tonight: where are you between doubt and faith? Tonight, we must choose faith and always choose faith. Just when we think all is lost, Jesus is working. Our job is to stand in faith, believing. I think of that bleak scene that I read. I think of that moment. I think of that time. And we all have times like that when we believe all is lost, and we might scatter, and we might be filled with doubt and fear and wonder. God, where are you? What is happening in my life? What is going on in my life? I don't know about you, but I've been there before. Many of us aren't really that much different than these disciples. We've been taught. We understand, but like these disciples, we have moments where doubt and fear fill our spirits. In this text, everything about this picture would say discouragement and fear have completely taken over the disciples. They believed with their whole hearts. They believed everything Jesus said. They were the best ameners in the church. These aren't lukewarm Christians. And Jesus himself tells these disciples three times in the Gospels that he would die and that he would rise again. But now doubt has overwhelmed them. One of the three times that Jesus spoke to them and told them is in Matthew 16:21. He says, "From this time, Jesus began to show the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and priests, and be killed, and on the third day, be rose again." Even though they knew that God in heaven had a plan and that they were warned that they'd have struggle, they were filled with doubt and fear. I wonder tonight, in life's difficulty, in life's pain, where have you fallen between faith and doubt? On this Good Friday, on this Holy Friday, on the entrance into Silent Saturday, maybe you haven't seen the answer you thought you would or the promise fulfilled that you thought you would. You haven't seen all come to pass, but not all hope is lost. I want to encourage you tonight that not only to look to the cross with its pain and defeat and humiliation, but to look through the cross. The Bible says these words in John 16:33, "I told you these things that you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world." Some of us are in a silent Saturday with our families, with our employment, with our businesses, maybe with our health. That God's promise is silent in this moment. But you know the truth between doubt and faith. The emptiness and loneliness, the waiting and the promise in your heart with doubt. Where do you sit tonight? We know, based on Ephesians 4, that while the disciples were doubting, while they were scattered, that Jesus went to hell and took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And that he was making a way not only for the disciples, but for you and me as well. We understand as believers of Jesus Christ that he's made a way for us forever. We must choose faith. Tonight, in this moment and season, like in James, Jesus' brother's life, he moved from doubt to faith in a moment. He had a connection. He had a touch from Jesus. And I believe last night we were touched by Jesus. I believe tonight that we'll be touched by Jesus. I believe that this season, if you choose so, could be a launching pad into the greatest faith movement in your family that you've ever seen. I believe one of the reasons James was filled with so much doubt is he became so familiar with Jesus. I was thinking about my own life. I was thinking about Good Fridays and Easter. As long as I can remember, I've been in this place. I've been in church. I've been in the services. I've heard the messages preached. I've heard the songs sung. My second thought tonight, I believe sometimes the greatest enemy of our faith is becoming too familiar with what isn't just normal. It's not normal just to know Jesus. It's not normal just to gather here. Didn't we learn that? It's not normal that Jesus was crucified. It's not normal to have the biggest Easter egg hunt in the entire county. We just had it this week. It's not normal to have food giveaways every single Wednesday where God gives us the ability to bless people all over the county. It's not normal to gather in a place like this in togetherness and love and friendship. It's not normal. It's a gift from God himself. The cross has changed our future. And I believe with all my heart that we can't get so familiar that we lose the wonder and gratitude that this season brings. Jesus on a cross, but Jesus risen from the dead for your sin and for mine. James speaks of it. In James 1:16, he says, "Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters." He's talking out of his own pain. "Every good and perfect gift from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who doesn't change like the shifting shadows." He says, don't get too familiar with it. Everything you have, your health is from God. Your family's from God. Your employment's from God. Your ability to walk and talk and interact, it's all from God in heaven. Don't get so familiar that you lose the true meaning of the season. I'm done with this. Mary Magdalene, who is mentioned in the scripture at the cross, I just read it to you, when Jesus was going to be crucified, she's in the garden weeping as Jesus is raised from the dead in John 20:11. Jesus shows up in the garden weeping, and she's weeping. Jesus shows up, and she's weeping. He's talking to her. He's interacting with her. He's having a moment with Mary Magdalene, and she doesn't even realize it's him. She believes it's a gardener. Stay with me for a second. How about the two people who walked to Emmaus? Jesus was walking with them, and they were talking about Jesus in the past tense. They said these words. They were hoping. They had moved from faith to doubt. How about the disciples? After he is risen, they are hiding in a house. And Thomas says these famous words that you know so well: "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." He's become so familiar. He's so filled with doubt in this moment that he speaks those words like that. How about Peter, who says, "I'll never deny him. I'll never deny you, Lord." Ends up going fishing, and not only going fishing, but leading others to go fishing with him, filled with doubt. The truth is tonight, if we lose faith and hope and embrace doubt and fear, we will end up going back to who we used to be. Let's not look just to the cross, but let's look through the cross, from doubt to faith. No matter what your silent Saturday looks like, my last thought: Jesus is closer tonight than you think. Jesus is closer than you know. And in the silence of pain, Jesus is so much closer than you think. Jesus was there with Mary Magdalene in the garden. Jesus was with the ones on the road to Emmaus. Jesus was with the disciples in the room with them as they gathered in fear. Jesus was with Peter as Peter led people to go back fishing. Jesus was with Thomas as he spoke the famous word, "I will not believe unless I see him." But Jesus speaks to Thomas, and Jesus speaks to you, and Jesus speaks to me these famous words he spoke. And Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you believe, Thomas. But blessed are those who have not seen, yet they believe." Can I tell you tonight? He's closer than you think. In your difficulty, in your pain, in your becoming familiar, he's closer than you think. In your difficulty with family and children and employment and just life in general, he's closer than you think. In sickness and in health, he's closer than you think. I want you to bow your heads tonight and close your eyes. I believe with all my heart that someone came in filled with doubt. They've drifted from faith and landed in doubt. This is the time. This is the season to move from doubt into faith. If you're here tonight and you say, Ryan, I want to take that step during this season. I don't want to continue another moment the way I have. Would you pray this simple prayer with me? Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I ask you tonight to fill my heart with faith, the substance of things hoped for. Hope for tomorrow. Hope for my family. Hope for my children. Be a part of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're so glad you're here tonight. Dad, would you come? Pastor Aaron, would you come?
Beautiful, beautiful message, beautiful reminder. We're going to partake of communion together. If you would get your cup, if you didn't get a communion cup on the way in, would you raise your hand real high so that these incredible young men and women could make sure you get one? Raise your hand real high. Hold it up if you didn't get one. Everybody good? Wonderful. You just begin to deassemble it. And I was sitting there thinking when Pastor Ryan was sharing God's word that maybe soon we'll go back and share the old kind of communion that we used to have together. What a night for you and I to move forward in our lives with Jesus, to make the decisions that will change us and mold us and make us. I want you to take the bread, if you would. Pastor Aaron, would you?
The Bible says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take of the body together.
Bible says in the same way, he took the cup. He says, this is my blood that has been poured out for all. He said, whosoever will, it's for everyone. In this blood is not only the redemption of our sin, but it's the creating a brand new life. Some of you are here, maybe you're watching online, that your life hasn't been everything that you had hoped it would be. This is a moment for that to change in your life tonight. You partake and you come to God and ask him, Lord, as I drink this cup, he said, Jesus said, remember me. When we remember what he did, sometimes it hits the reset button in our lives. Takes us to that moment that we need to have that encounter with him. I want you to take the cup. Lord, as we drink this cup tonight, we remember what you have done for us. You not only took upon your own life every sin that we ever committed, paid it. You said by your stripes, we are healed. You said that because of the chastisement that was upon you, that you would give us your peace. So, Lord, I thank you for peace. I thank you for healing. in every life that calls out to you right now. If you need a touch from God in your life, just ask him, Lord, touch me tonight. As we partake of this, Lord, I pray that it will be an encounter with everyone. Let's drink the cup together.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. You sound great. Lift your voice. Because I know he holds my future and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know. So glad you came tonight. We're so glad to be together. Those of you that are online tonight, God bless you so much. We're glad you were with us. We're going to be right across town, 114 Liberty Street in Batavia, and just a little bit here, 8 o'clock service. If you don't have anywhere to go tonight, don't go home and be alone. Come over with us. Those of you that are online, invite someone to be with us tonight at 8 o'clock. God bless you. Sunday morning, we're going to celebrate a risen Savior, and we pray that you'll do that with us. Have a great night.